Hey girl, welcome to Christian Girls Pop. My name is Stephanie Bright and I'm the founder of this girls group as well as your host for the podcast. Around here, we are all about purpose, obedience, and prayer. That's what makes us pop. You're guaranteed to laugh, cry, learn, grow, and most importantly, become more like Jesus. We're going to rock this thing out and we're going to have fun doing it. You ready? Let's go. Hey girl, thanks for clicking on this episode. If you don't know me, my name is Stephanie Bright and I am the founder of Christian Girls Pop. And I host weekly podcast episodes when the podcast is in season, which I would like to announce that the podcast will be coming back next week for the spring semester. And so I'm super excited to give you fresh content. I have a cool theme and I'm just really excited to share it with y'all. But that's not exactly what this episode is about. This is not quite the launch to our spring semester podcast season, but I wanted to drop another sermon that I had the opportunity to preach just the other day. This was at my church. It was for a women's event. And if you listen to the last sermon titled Deferred Hope and Divine Denials, you will see that the titles are actually similar. This title is Delays and Denials. So when I was asked to speak at this event, I was actually asked to preach the same sermon that I preached at the Selah retreat back in December of 2023. And that was the goal and that was the plan, but God had other plans. And this message, it kind of felt like a part two of Deferred Hope and Divine Denials, but we're looking at completely different scripture. It's a whole different setup, but the idea of praying and continuing to pray about things even when you don't see the end result right away, or even though you're frustrated or confused about how God is working things out, that kind of theme is the same throughout this sermon. So I wanted to drop this here on the podcast for you to hopefully be encouraged. If you're in a season where you are really just struggling with praying for things, or you are frustrated, you're weary, you're confused, maybe you're angry, you're bitter, you just have a lot of emotions regarding this thing that you've been praying about for so long and you're not quite seeing it turn out as you thought, I hope that this message encourages you and that it blesses you. Share it with others that may be going through the same season and may need a little encouragement. And I also do want to announce that the podcast will be back starting next week, so stay tuned. We will begin to have episodes dropping all throughout the season, and I have a theme. Everything will be coming out very soon, so be on the lookout. Also, make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Christian Girls Pop. That's going to be the best way to keep up with knowing when a new episode drops, or you can just follow and make sure you subscribe to this channel so that you can always be notified when a new episode drops. Hope that this encourages you. Can't wait to hang out with you all season long, and we'll talk soon. Tonight, I want to talk about delays and denials. Delays and denials, because I think a lot of times we hear about prayer, we hear about the fact that it works, that it's powerful, and it does, and it is. But sometimes we don't have a space and a place to talk about the fact that what happens when things don't go as planned, what happens when you pray and things don't get answered in your timing, what happens when you pray and it just doesn't turn out how you expect altogether, what do you do then, right? Because a lot of times we'll pray about it, we'll shout about it at church, we're having a good time, but then what happens when we go home and we're crying ourselves to sleep at night because things didn't go as we thought and now we're disappointed. So we're talking about delays and denials. And so in that song, the reason I had that song, it's called Keep Praying, if you want to look it up on your own. It's by Maverick City. And one of the words in the song, that song was actually our theme song for the Selah retreat. But one of the main words, the lyrics of the song is, every prayer today is a seed for tomorrow. So you're planting seeds that eventually you will see bloom. But a lot of times we don't see them bloom in the way that we think. And I think a couple of weeks ago, actually, Pastor Mark talked about the bamboo tree. And if you don't know, or maybe you didn't hear it, a bamboo tree, you can plant it and you won't see a single bloom for at least like 5 to 7 years. Like, you can water every day, you know, do all the things that you're supposed to do to tend to the plant, and you won't see a single bloom. But overnight, on that, and when it's exact moment that it's time for it, overnight, it shoots up like 90 something feet in the air. Like, it's crazy. And it's because it had been underground, and that's just how God made the tree. And so sometimes that's how our prayers are. We're praying, and we see nothing, right? Like, I'm not talking about the prayers where like, oh, I think God's working. Like, we see nothing. It looks like God is not answering us. God is not hearing us at all. What do you do then?
And then all of a sudden we see it overnight. And it's like, man, God's been working the whole time. The plant was growing the whole time, but it just needed to shoot up above ground to where we could see it. And sometimes that's the same way with our prayers. So what about the prayers that you prayed for years for your body to be healed? What about the prayers for your marriage to be restored? What about waiting on your kids to come to know Christ or to come back from wherever they are right now, living a prodigal lifestyle? What about those prayers that you've been praying for a long time? What do you do with them? Do you eventually toss them away because it seems like all hope is lost, so we might as well just give up anyway? So I want to talk about, I want to look at a couple people in scripture who looks like they got delayed, they got denied. So we're going to be in John 11. And I like to go through scripture. So we're going to have a good little time in the scripture. We're going to go through it for a little bit here. So John chapter 11, it's a famous verse of scripture or passage of scripture. It's when Lazarus is risen from the dead, spoiler alert. But I want to break down all the things that happened before we get to the actual miracle, because that's when we see the humanity of all the people that were involved. A lot of times you just hear the Sunday school story like, yeah, Lazarus came out of the grave. Woo, come out of the grave. What about all the emotions that people were feeling before they got there? So, John chapter 11. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent to him saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. So we got a little background context, right? So Lazarus is sick. Jesus loves him. So they have a little bond. They're cool. Mary is his sister. And we even got background context on Mary. So she's been with the Lord before. She's had her encounter with him. So she's a follower. She's a believer of Jesus and, you know, his power and what he can do. So verse 4, this is John chapter 11, if you're able to follow along. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Mary and her sister and Lazarus. So verse 4 is already showing us that Jesus had a plan all along. The thing with plans is that most people, we believe that God has plans, right? We believe God has plans for us. The issue is we don't know what the plans are, right? We quote Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans you have for me. Like we quote that one, but we don't. He knows what the plans are. We don't. That's the problem. Can you tell me what they are, right? That's where the disconnect sometimes happens, because we believe that Jesus has plans. We believe that there's a plan for our life. We don't know what they are, and we're stuck somewhere in the middle trying to figure it out. So he said, oh yeah, like already, we already got that. This is going to be for the glory of God. But if you see right here, he has not mentioned that he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. That's not mentioned. He knows that's what's coming. So that's what it looks like when he's like, oh yeah, that sickness you're going through right now, oh, for the glory of God. And you're like, well, I didn't know that, right? Sometimes they say hindsight is 20/20. That's because you see the full picture now, right? But when you're going through it, you don't see what can God be doing in this situation. Verse 6, so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, check this out, y'all. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. When God does something, a lot of times it's not going to make sense to us. And I think the quicker we can grasp that, it makes life a little easier. But how does that make sense, right? It just says he loved Martha. He loved Lazarus. He loved Mary. But he's going to stay where he's at, even though he knows he needs to be somewhere else, right? So what do we do when it's like, God, I know you hear me. I know you know my needs. Why aren't you moving quick enough? Why aren't you moving fast enough for me? And then he says like, oh, but I love you. You're like, but how does that make sense? How does a good God, right, that loves me, how does that same God delay when I want something? It doesn't make sense a lot of the time. And that's when we begin to question if he really loves us. That's when we begin to question his word. We begin to question if he really cares for us. Because it says there's, you know, in our minds, that makes no sense. There's no way that you love me and you're not going to come see about me. That's how I see it. If there's an urgency that normally comes with it, right? If somebody, God forbid, were to give you a phone call right now and tell you a loved one is having an emergency, you're not going to stay here at King's Daughters and finish your pasta, right? Like, you may take it to go play, but you're not going to finish your pasta. I'll be like, I'm coming right now. I need another piece of garlic bread. I'm on my way. No, but you're going to try to get to where you need to go, right? So then now we see Jesus delaying getting where he knows there's a need. And so I know Amanda has, I don't know if anybody else has seen the season 4 of The Chosen. I'm not going to spoil it. But the only thing I will say is we see an encounter like this happen where it's like, you could have done something. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. That's it. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. That's it. It's so good, y'all. Y'all got to go see it. Okay, let's continue. So now Jesus delays, right? Verse 7. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. Okay, so let's skip down to verse 11. After saying these things, because he had a little talk with some people. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. So now we're caught on to his plans. We know a little bit of the plans that he has. At least the disciples do. Mary and Martha still don't know that he's coming to resurrect him. We're kind of at Mary and Martha. We're the ones that are like, we don't know anything. We're not in the know of what's going on. The disciples, verse 12, the disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. They're like, we're going all the way over here to wake him up out of his sleep? Like, that's kind of what they're saying. And then he realized like, oh, y'all don't understand what I mean. Verse 13, now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Once again, here's Jesus saying more stuff that doesn't make sense. I'm glad that I was not there. Excuse me? Like, if I was Mary and Martha, I would have had an attitude right there. I'm like, okay, so you delayed on purpose. You really don't like me. It's like, once again, how do you believe that a loving God is going to say something like that? Right? You hear a loving God and you're like, oh man, I'm coming right now. I'm coming to see about you. Like, I'm running. And he knows that Lazarus is dead by now because he's Jesus. He's all knowing. He knows. He's not even there, but he already knows Lazarus is dead. But we're going to take our time. And I'm glad that I wasn't there. Without context, that sounds like, if he had just said the first part, I'm glad that I was not there, I would have been like, dude, that's wild. Like, you are out of line for saying that. But at least he finished it up and he said, so that you may believe. He knew that there was going to be something that come out of this. Right? Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for the good. The thing is, he knows how it's going to work out. We don't. Once again, that's the problem. That sometimes it's that lack of knowledge of how is this all going to work out. And that's when you realize there is always purpose in God's plan. Somehow, some way. The frustrating part is that we don't know always exactly how it's going to go. Verse 16, so Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Verse 17, now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Y'all say 4 days. 4 days. Okay, so this is an important thing to note. Anything in the Bible, there's always a reason why certain things are there. So in Jewish tradition, they had, some people would believe that like when somebody died, that their soul would linger, kind of hover around their body for 3 days, like looking to see if it could re-enter. So now that it's 4 days, that means all hope is completely lost. 3 days, they could at least have been like, well, I guess. I mean, it's still a miracle. 4 days, everybody's like, all right, y'all go home. There's no more hope, right? Everybody has officially given up now. They've given up hope. And some of us are in those same situations now, right? We've gotten final diagnosis. We've gotten divorce papers handed to us. We've gotten our kids to officially, you know, pack up their bags and leave. Whatever it is, some of y'all are in situations where it's like, there's no more hope. That's it. I have exhausted all of my resources. There's nothing else I can do in my own strength. That you just kind of think like, there's no way we can come back from this, right? But you got to keep reading. All right, verse 18. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So the word is spreading. People are hearing about the death. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met with him. Listen to this, y'all. But Mary remained seated in the house. So Martha, they both hear that Jesus is coming. Martha goes out to meet him. Mary's sitting at the house. She got an attitude. I'm Mary. I'm like, nah, you had your chance to come. Like, she's feeling how a lot of us feel when we're in situations and we've prayed. Like, let's just be real about it. I know some of y'all may be holy and sanctified, but I'll just be honest. I'm Mary sitting at the house mad, right? Like, really? So we told you he was sick. You spent two more days wherever you was at doing whatever you was doing. I heard you tell your little disciples that you were glad that you didn't come. She's seated at the house. She's seated there. But here's the thing. Go back to verse 2. If you're scrolling, scroll back to verse 2. It says, it was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. So what changed between verse 2 and verse 20?
He didn't come.
How she wanted. Now she's frustrated. Now she's disappointed. Now she's bitter. Now she's angry. There's something that switched in her brain to where she decided, I don't even need to go see him. Because now her thought process is, why am I going to go see a God who didn't come see me? And that's how we feel sometimes pulling up at church. What's the point of me being here? I prayed. Why would I join the prayer team and pray for somebody else when my prayers aren't getting answered? Why am I going to worship when the last time I worshiped, things still didn't work out how I thought they would? She's seated in the house, and a lot of times that's a lot of us. Have you ever felt like you served God, you gave all your best, you gave him your all, and you're like, can you help me? I'm helping everybody else. I'm serving everybody else. Can you come see about me? She feels like you spent all this time going to see everybody else, but your so-called Lazarus, your buddy whom you love, the Bible says whom you love. That means everybody knew that Jesus loved Lazarus. It wasn't just like this little, oh yeah, I think I know him. Everybody knew. And everybody assumed Jesus is going to absolutely come and see about Lazarus. But he stopped along the way and he's doing all kinds of other stuff. And then we can get like Mary. So you want to go see about everybody else. And now my brother's here in a tomb. And we can have that attitude with God. She's probably thinking like, oh yeah, you loved him so much that you didn't come see him. That you didn't come heal him. Because in her mind, it's over. Right? So she's like, you had the chance to fix this and you didn't. And it wasn't out of, oh, you were just too busy. You chose to stay. You chose to delay. Can you blame Mary? Right? Like we can see it and be like, oh, come on, Mary. Jesus was coming. You could have got up. Can you blame her? She's frustrated. She's angry. She's grieving. So Mary goes and Martha goes and sees her. Mary stays behind. Verse 21, Martha says to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She was bold enough to say, like, you the problem, right? Like, you could have fixed this. But at least she came. We got to give her some props. She came out to greet him, right? But she said her piece too. She has something to say. But look at her faith then. She had faith enough to know that he was a healer. But in verse 22, she says, but even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. So her and Mary are in the same situation. They're both related to the dead guy in the tomb. One is really struggling. One is somewhat struggling, but she has enough faith to at least say, I know that I feel like you can still do something even if you want it to right now. Right. She's kind of like leaving it back in his hands. Like, I know this looks bad. But even now, we're going to get back to that. But even now, verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Praise the Lord. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. So she's trying to rationalize. She's like, I mean, yeah. Like when you come back and, you know, take all of us with you and all that. Yeah. He's like, no, I mean like right now. She's like, oh, okay. verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. Say, I am the resurrection. And the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. I love that Jesus just like he knew who he was and his calling in every situation. And when they were like, "What about the Sabbath?" He's like, "I am the Sabbath." He's like, he just answered every question. She's like, "He's dead. I am the resurrection." He's like, "Okay, all right." Verse 26, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. So she's had her encounter with the Lord, and she's believing, like, okay, the Lord said he's going to rise Lazarus, so let's see what's going to happen. Verse 28, when she said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. Now, the scripture never said that Jesus was calling for her, but maybe she just bribed Mary to come out there. I don't know. Maybe he did ask for Mary and somebody just didn't write that down. I would like to say she was like, yeah, he calling. He want to talk to you, girl. She's like, he didn't really say nothing, but I just wanted you to come out there. I don't know. Verse 29, and when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Praise the Lord. Mary's coming to see Jesus. She shook it off. Verse 30, now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. So if they're assuming that she's going to the weep at the tomb, that means that's what she's been doing for the last 4 days, right? She got a routine. They're like, there she goes again. She's on her way to the tomb, right? They're expecting her. She's in grief, as she should be, right? Her brother just died, and they just assume Mary's going on to the tomb to weep again. Verse 32, now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She said the same thing Martha said. She's not wrong. They both had faith enough to believe, Lord, I've heard of all the things that you've done for everybody else. And how many people want to be honest? We've wagged our finger at God a time or two, right? Like, if you had just given me the job like 2 days ago, I could have been paid already, right? I wouldn't have an eviction notice sitting on my door, right? Like, if you had just healed my body, I wouldn't have all these medical bills, right? Like, can we be honest? So she said her piece too. She said what she had to say. Everybody was believing for a miracle. That's what it came down to. They all were believing for a miracle, and it didn't happen as they thought. Little did they know, they were right in the middle of what was about to be one of the coolest miracles ever. But in the moment, when you don't know that you're right at the edge of a miracle, it just looks chaotic, right? It just looks like everything's falling apart. But think about any time in scripture where you've seen a miracle happen. Moses at the Red Sea, there's just a whole body of water. He's leading a million people, and there's an army coming behind him. That's not exciting. Like, it's not like, yes, this is about to go down in scripture. They're going to make a movie about this. He's just like, oh my gosh, we're all about to die, and I'm responsible for everyone. Then he gets the instructions from God, and we see the miracle. But right before that miracle happens, it just looks like this is the worst thing ever, right? For her, she's looking at the tomb and looking at the guy who could have fixed all of this, and it just looks chaotic. You're feeling the height of all of your emotions. Nothing feels good about this situation. Verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, everyone's memory verse, Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. But this shows that Jesus is human, right? When he was here on earth, he was fully God, fully man. He was grieved. He was moved by it. Verse 36, so the Jews said, see how he loved him. Verse 37, here comes the logical people saying the same thing I would have been thinking. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Once again, they're going back to the rational, like, why he crying? He could have fixed this. Like, they're literally like, bro, you could have just came 2 days ago. Everything would have been fine. Well, actually, 4 days ago, you could have came, healed him. You wouldn't have to be crying. She wouldn't have to be crying. We wouldn't have to be standing here. And that's just what it looks like when we start trying to put our logical brain into things, right? God, if you had just done this exactly how I prayed and wanted it to happen, I wouldn't be in this situation. She doesn't know she's about to go down in scripture of seeing a miracle happen. She doesn't know that God is about to, this is going to be written in scripture as, wow, a resurrection before the resurrection, the resurrection. She just knows, here's a guy who could have fixed it. This is the situation that is unfixable now, or so she thinks. And that's just what it looks like when we're trying to be rational about stuff. They're asking valid questions. I'm not even mad at them. They're like, this is the same guy that healed the blind. He healed the lame. He's making everybody walk. And he's crying about something he could have fixed. And so now we're looking at God like, why does it have to be this hard? If you had just come at this moment, if you had just not let me go here, if you had just moved that person out of my life, if you had just healed my body in this certain way, I wouldn't be in this situation. God doesn't operate how we do. His ways are higher than our ways, right? He has plans. They're good plans, but we don't always know what they are. Verse 38, then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and the stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, once again, being rational, the sister of the dead man said, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. She's like, no. Let's not get crazy. I would have been like, Jesus, you're doing too much, okay? You got here late, you're getting on my nerves, and now you want me to open up the tomb and it's going to smell a hot mess. Like, she's like, okay, I was with you. I was with you. I really was. I was trying to pick up what you was putting down. But it's going to stink when I open up this tomb. That's the rational side of things, right? Once again, any time in scripture where we see a miracle that takes place, there's always an action required. Moses in the Red Sea, Moses had to stretch out his rod. Abraham and Isaac with the sacrifice. Abraham had to get real close to sacrificing Isaac before God said no. Anytime you see this, Noah building an ark, right? He had to build the ark in order to save the family. Anytime you see any type of miraculous event, there was always some type of action that was required. And the action doesn't make sense. He's dead. Let him be. Like, this situation is already, and it sounds bad, but it's like, it's already bad enough. Like, I'm not trying to make this any worse for anybody, because she's thinking rationally. We're already sad. Now you want us to be stinky and sad. Like, we start thinking rational. It doesn't make sense. But if you know that, like, man, if I just do that one thing, I'm right this close to my miracle. It's not always going to make sense. The delays aren't going to make sense. The denials aren't always going to make sense. Things that God is asking you to do doesn't always make sense. And think about the fact Martha had to be obedient even when she's kind of grieving and still kind of processing how she feels with God too, with Jesus. I know she still feels some type of way about the fact that he was late, right? She chose to be obedient. Can we ask ourselves, what would I do in that situation? I'm going to say, no, you've already made a mess of things. Thank you. We got it from here. Or would you say, I mean, I guess this doesn't make sense at all, but I guess. She doesn't know. He doesn't say, roll back the stone because I'm about to resurrect your brother. He just says, open up the stone and let us smell 4 days worth of rotting flesh. It doesn't make sense until it does. Verse 40, Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Okay. 41, so she took away the stones. They said, all right, okay. So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. We finally saw the miracle. Didn't come like we thought. Not anything like we expected. As of now, according to scripture, there hasn't been any other recorded resurrections. So it had to happen differently. This is something that they haven't seen. So that's why they're not expecting resurrection. They haven't seen it. They don't even know it's a possibility. So for her, it's over. For anyone that's looking at the tomb, it's done. There's nothing else we can do. For them, death is final. They didn't realize they were encountering the resurrection, but for them, it was over. Those people that came with, it says the people that came with Mary, that means they came expecting to just be in another session of grief. They came expecting to just cry and weep and mourn again, and they left seeing a miracle. I can't even imagine how they all felt. The Bible doesn't go into too much detail after that until verse 12, and you know, Mary anoints his feet and stuff again, but they saw a miracle. There was a delay, There was what looked to them to be a denial, but the entire time, there was a God working behind the scenes with a plan in mind. He wasn't caught off guard by the fact that Lazarus had been dead 4 days. It didn't mean anything to him in the sense of, like, he wasn't bound by that. He wasn't restricted by that, because our God operates outside of time. It could have been 40 days and he could have still resurrected Lazarus. He knew, I am the resurrection. I know the power that I have. And the problem is that we sometimes forget the power that Jesus has. We forget the God that we're praying to. And sometimes we put restrictions on him. So when we see delays, we see that as, well, you can't do anything now. Says who? He created time for us, right? That's just for us to be able to function and get around. He doesn't need time to determine whether or not he can do something or not. There's no limits on him. So what about when we're facing our own delays and denials, right? Death seemed like a denial. Taking his time seemed like a denial. But Jesus knew, I need to do it in this specific way so that other people will believe in me. If I do it any other way, they're going to find something else to give glory to besides me. Because he told Mary, it was Martha. He said, verse 40, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? He said, I want to make sure you see the glory of God, not seeing anything else but that. And he wanted to make sure that God got the glory for it. While he was on earth, he said, I want my Father to get the glory for this. And so sometimes things in our lives, they're not going to go as we expect. There's going to be things that we wish could happen faster. We wish that we could snap our fingers and things would just naturally, automatically just fix themselves. But that's not how it works sometimes. And that's why I had that song pray, keep praying, keep believing, because you don't know what's happening behind the scenes. You don't know, what you do know is that God hears you, but you don't know what he's doing with what he's hearing, right? We can't see everything that's going on. Thank God we can't see everything in the spiritual realm. I'm cool on that. I'm okay. But you don't know what he's doing. Think about just, simple prayers. There's not really such thing, but think about a prayer that you just may pray, Lord, be a hedge of protection around my home, around my family. You don't see the angels that are surrounding your car, but they're there because you prayed and asked for them. Same thing goes with anything else that you're praying and believing God for. It just may not look like you think. And I want to encourage us that if we're in that place where we're struggling with frustration, bitterness, anger, confusion, anything where we're like, God, I see you doing it for everybody else. I see you going out your way to heal this person and that person. And it seems like everybody else is getting blessed but me. What about me? What about me? When are you going to come see about me? It looks like this is over and done with anyway. Why do I even keep praying? That's just being honest. Why am I going to keep? What's the point? Anybody ever been there? What's the point? Why am I going to keep praying? I prayed and it seemed like nothing happened, so I'm done with that. Some of us have even walked away from God for a little bit because of disappointment, because of things not going well. And then we're left with, well, maybe God was trying to do something and I didn't let him. Maybe my time ran out. I remember one day the Lord woke me up and told me that, you know, like on the elevator where there's like a weight limit, right, of how many people can be on the elevator at one time. The Lord told me some of us have a weight limit, WAIT, where I can wait on you. I'm going to wait on you, but you got 2 hours and 27 minutes. If it don't come in that time, that's it. Some of us, we have a weight limit. We will wait until we don't. Until something else kind of comes along to distract us. Until we've tired of doing the same thing over and over again and not seeing results. So I want to go back to one verse of scripture. And we're going to end with that. Chapter 11, verse 22. Let me start back in 21, actually. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. I want us to believe that. So I want you to close your eyes.
Close your eyes, close your eyes, close your eyes.
Don't go to sleep. Whatever thing has been on your mind while I've been talking, thing that you feel like everything else, God, you've got in control, but I don't know about this. Everything else seems like it's going to work out, but this thing looks pretty rough. I want you to believe that. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. But even now, that's the faith that we're going to have. God, I've exhausted all my options. I've used everything else that I know that I can. I've prayed, I've asked, I've fasted. It's in your hands. I'm not going to try to keep working. I'm not going to try to do it my own. I'm not going to try to keep trying to figure it out myself. I'm going to believe that you're the resurrection. And even if this looks dead with my natural eyes, I know that with my spiritual eyes, you are more than able to resurrect. So Lord, that's what I pray tonight. For those that are weary, for those that are tired, for those who have been like the woman with the issue of blood and just gone to every doctor, every person that could possibly help. And it looks like that this thing is dead. It looks like their marriage has no hope. It looks like their child is just running from God and will never return. It looks like they've gotten the final diagnosis. Lord, I thank you that you give the final say and that that is the only thing that matters. Lord, I pray that we would trust you even in the delay. I pray that we would surrender to that to you, even in the delays, even in the denials, that we would trust you again and say, Lord, we'll believe you one more time. Lord, we'll step out in faith one more time. We'll keep showing up to church, even if we're grieving inside, even if we're mourning, even if we're sad, we're bitter, we're angry. We're going to keep serving you because we're not going to let the things around us dictate and determine who you are and what you are limited to do. Lord, I know that you're more than able to step in any situation that looks too far gone. Even for those that are not here, that are in situations that they just know with their natural eyes that there's nothing else that can be done. Lord, I thank you that you are beginning, and you've already have been, just forming testimonies and miracles on their behalf. I thank you that you have the plan that no man can write. You have the best plans for our life, the best stories for our lives. And I pray that we would just trust you. I thank you, Lord, for how I've seen you resurrect things that I thought were dead in my own life. And you've created such a miracle from mess, from disease. And you've brought me back to life in so many ways. So I pray that you do that for these daughters that are in here tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name. I want to leave you with one last thing. I don't always know when he's going to work it out. I don't always know how he's going to work it out. I don't know why he does things the way that he does, but I can take you to scripture. And I know Romans 8:28, that he works it all out for our good. I know Isaiah 55:8-9, that his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I know Jeremiah 29:11 to remind you that he has a plan and a purpose for your life. That's what we have to cling to. Most people know, but the last thing I'll share is, because you may hear me sitting up here and it's like, okay, but what do you know about delays and denials? What? I was born with a chronic heart condition, and for 24 years, I was praying all the prayers and doing all the things and seeing all the doctors. Doctor said, there's nothing else we can do. They told my parents that at 3 weeks, and they were basically saying, you need to plan a funeral. I had to pray. Other people were praying for me, and it seemed like nothing's working out. Nothing's working out. And I tell people, because I calculated the days, I had the chronic heart condition for 8,946 days. That's 8,946 days with somebody, either myself or somebody else, praying for my heart to be healed. God chose day 8,947. And I remember that night, God told me, I allowed it to happen until this night for a reason. And I'm still seeing those reasons unfold. There was a shift in my life. There was a shift in my ministry because of that. And I didn't have the answer. The doctor said, there's nothing else we can do. This is your diagnosis. You're going to have to live with it. Jesus chose when he was going to heal my heart. And he's going to do the same for your situations, whatever it is. I don't know what day. I don't know when. I don't know how. But I know that he doesn't fall back void on his word. I know that he is the resurrection and that he can do the absolute impossible. So keep praying. Keep believing when it looks hard. I can just like sense the weariness in the room of just people that have been praying for a long time. And you feel like God doesn't see you.
You feel forgotten. You feel abandoned. You feel forsaken. You feel like you've done a lot of things in vain. You feel like, what's the point? I'm doing everything I know to do and God doesn't care about me. I come against that lie in the name of Jesus. He cares for you. He bottles up your tears. Every day of your life is written. And there will be other people that will believe because of your story. I get to tell my story and give other people encouragement that God still heals. Because he's done it for me. And I got to go to the doctors and they said, we don't know what happened. I told, I know what happened. I know you got degrees and you're the top cardiologist in Houston, but you couldn't heal my heart. I met with the chief surgeon himself and he did the best work. Keep praying. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen a year from now. I'm not the one to tell. But what I do know is that God hears our prayers. Don't grow weary. Like the song says, don't grow weary. Keep believing. Every prayer today is a seed for tomorrow. And in due season, you will see everything that he has for you.